Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation Podcast Show. Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation Podcast Show. I'm your host, not Ken Hendricks. This is Josh Brown coming to you live from Boone, North Carolina. We've got serious matters to talk about, and so I brought on an expert. When things like this happen in the world, we need to bring on an expert to talk about it, and by popular demand, we had him banned from the podcast for about 2 months, but we've met with our board and we've decided to rescind the banishment, and so he's back. Please welcome one of the greatest people I know, one of the worst Clemson fans I know, Kent Brown, my cousin. Hey, Kent.
Thank you for having me, Josh. I'm sorry that
worst intro ever?
No, it was fantastic, and I appreciate it. I'm sad that Ken and JT couldn't join, but I'll take whatever I can get at this point.
They couldn't handle the heat. They were scared.
Yeah. They can dish it, you know. It's typical Georgia fans. You know, they can dish it. They can complain, right. and it's
right online. A lot of online chatter, but then when it comes to game day, where are they right now? I don't know. You know, JT says he's sick, but is he really sick?
Yeah.
Kenny's baling hay. Who bales hay? It. You know what I mean? It's not 1894. It's, you know what I mean? Like, who bales hay?
Hillbilly Jim and Ken. For those of you who don't know, Hillbilly Jim was a very, very popular wrestler in the 80s. He was a terrible wrestler, by the way, but he was popular. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was on the Rock and Wrestling Show, the first wrestling cartoon ever created. Yeah.
The first wrestling cartoon. Now, you still have like wrestling action figures in your basement.
I have lots of action legit figures.
Ones, like 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually almost brought them up for the, I have lots of things like that I like to display and play with. And I was going to bring them up. I have a whole basket of them, and it's got, I mean, all of them. It's got,
you do?
Yeah. Macho Man, Hogan, Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Piper, even like the random ones like Corporal Kirshner and, you know, Coco Beware.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
It goes deep. It goes deep. Hillbilly Jim.
I mean, I remember like the high level. Like, I remember, you know, Jake the Snake, the Ultimate Warrior, the British Bulldog.
See, this is even before those guys. This is before those guys. This is the generation before those guys.
I don't even know what happened before those guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's deep cut.
So was this like the early 80s?
Yeah, this was the launch of like WrestleMania 1. This is WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3. So this is like 80, 84.
Okay.
85, 86.
Okay. I guess my first memories would be like probably 89, 90. You know, Hulk Hogan is king, and then that whole era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you wearing a McGriff jersey? Wow.
Crime dog. And speaking of toys,
jersey.
I also brought my starting lineup, 1996, dude. Fred McGriff. Boy, if you look real close,
that is,
it's suitable for
1996
ages,
edition.
Yeah, it's suitable for ages 4 to 104.
Is that what it says on there? Dude, I found a honey hole. I've got like 10 starting lineups I found at Salvation Army 2 weeks ago. I got Barry Sanders, Andre Rison, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, Jose Canseco, Nolan Ryan.
That's awesome.
Like three or four others. Yeah, I just found them at Salvation Army.
That's the kind of crap that I get for Christmas. That's like the things that I get for Christmas. Yeah, it's like a Fred McGriff doll.
When I find that kind of stuff at thrift stores, you know what I think about?
What?
How women aren't as smart as we are sometimes. Because like that, like a man did not donate those to Salvation Army. You know what I mean?
No.
Some woman did. Some woman did, and I don't know her reasons. Maybe she had valid reasons. Maybe dude was a piece of shit, and she, you know, she's like, screw this guy, and I'm gonna give his awesome stuff to Salvation Army. Or more likely scenario, she has no idea who Bo Jackson, Barry Sanders are, you know, and she just sees these things. She's like, oh, this is trash. I'll just donate them to Salvation Army.
Yeah, you know,
what are your thoughts?
It's totally right. It's 100% correct. No appreciation for it. In fact, our grandmother, God rest her soul, my dad, your uncle, told me a story. I've heard this story 8,000 times. It's a great one for this show. He was an avid baseball. My dad was obsessed with baseball. He was a great baseball player. Your dad's obsessed with baseball. He collected baseball cards and he had hundreds of them, and dude had like a gold mine of like Mickey Mantle rookies. I think he had a Honus Wagner. Like I think he had like some of the rarest cards you could possibly imagine in a box of them. And he left them like laying out in his room on his bed. And I guess our grandmother told him, get those things out of here. I'm tired of looking at them. And he left them out one day and he came back home and she had thrown them all in the trash. They were gone.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, that's my retirement.
So it's not just women these days. It's just been going on forever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Since the beginning of time.
That's so sad. So sad. I found like several of my bobbleheads, Salvation Army, dude. My buddy Cody, Dr. Bobblehead, Dr. Braves Bobblehead on Twitter. He found like a, what's the guy's name? A Duke Snider signed baseball cap at Goodwill.
Unreal.
Again, that was not, I'm not throwing shade, okay? I'm just stating facts. That was not a gentleman that donated that piece of art to Goodwill. Just saying. Mm-mm. I think people should talk about this kind of stuff more, you know?
Yeah, or a very angry one. Your brother actually found me some really cool, he sent me a Roddy Piper and a Bret the Hitman Hart and a Ted DiBiase Million Dollar Man doll. He's like, dude, he called me. He's like, hey man, I'm at this Salvation Army. I found these Piper dolls. So I'm like, yeah, get them. I'll pay you for them. Just grab them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So there's no sports, Kent. Mm-hmm. I don't think baseball is coming back this year, though. And honestly, I got some shade for this on Twitter because Twitter's an echo chamber. I'm not sure if you knew this. And so everybody just says things. Yeah, I know. It's kind of like, I mean, Facebook's similar, I guess, but like it's just a big old echo chamber. And everybody on Twitter, I would say 99% of baseball fans are like, we want baseball. We want baseball. And I was like, honestly, I don't want baseball this year. And here's why. Because they've already said if it comes back, there's no high-fiving, there's no spitting, there's no like exchanging of the lineup cards. Players have to sit in the stand 6 feet apart, right? There's no, you know what I mean? There's no, at that point, it's not baseball. It's just, it's weird, robotic, just weirdness, man. Like, who gives a crap? Just cancel 2020.
Could you imagine those rules for like a Gaylord Perry or a Lenny Dykstra? They wouldn't have jobs. They wouldn't have jobs. It's sad. I'm doubtful there will be a baseball season. I think mainly because of the union. I think the players union in Major League Baseball is so strong and legitimately cost Fred McGriff a Hall of Fame plaque in Cooperstown. He'll get in with the Veterans Union, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. It's sad.
No. It is sad. Yeah.
I'm just sad there wasn't a college baseball season. You guys don't talk about college baseball really at all on this podcast, do you?
We don't. Honestly, like, I've actually gotten into, you might think this sounds crazy, but I've actually gotten into college softball more than college baseball. And I don't really have a weird, I don't have an amazing reason for that other than I just happen to be watching college softball, the World Series with my stepdad, like a few years ago. And he got really into it, and I started watching it with him, and I loved it. It was like, and I'm not saying that college baseball is not good, but like college softball, it's like watching small ball. It's kind of fun. It's really competitive.
It's not nearly as fun as college baseball. I'm glad you like it. But
okay.
It's not even the same universe.
It's not.
No.
Shift
your focus.
When I do watch college baseball, I do, even though he unfollowed me, but I do endorse Brandt's school, Vandy, for the college baseball, because they're a feeder team to the Atlanta Braves. Brandt went there. I like to support my cousins, mm-hmm. And everything like that. So I do support the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Well, I do too. They're a fun team to watch. The whole story with Tim Corbin. Tim Corbin's a brilliant, brilliant baseball mind, and he is on top of that just like an awesome, awesome dude. And it's I won't retell the story here, but it's an amazing story, and what he did with that program is nothing short of remarkable. Did Brandt unfollow you?
I'm being a troll. On Twitter, but I don't blame him. I'd unfollow myself. Seriously,
are you more obnoxious on Twitter than you are on Facebook?
No, I don't know if I'm more obnoxious. I've got a different voice on Twitter. So on Facebook, I, for the most part, and this might sound untrue, but like because I've got family and like actual, I have actual people that I know on Facebook. Mm. So I'm a little more filtered on Facebook. On Twitter, I'm full on sarcastic. I'm full on troll for the most part, because I think most people on Twitter are the worst people in the world. They're just the worst, and it's just this giant. And baseball Twitter, so you're aware because you're not on it, but baseball Twitter is very, very far left analytical. Like baseball Twitter would. Tell you how stupid you are for using batting average or liking Fred McGriff. And they would explain to you why WAR and WRC plus are superior, but it's not what they say though. It's like how they say it. It's just, it's very like, well, actually, you know, I'm smarter than you because it's a bunch of one-upsmen, 40-year-old, like virgin baseball nerds that live in their mama's basement. Like that's baseball Twitter. Yeah.
That doesn't sound appealing to me. It's like you have to make a
for the most part
point in like three sentences. Right?
Right.
So it's sort of like a presidential
debate. Probably being too
solve the world's problems in 30 seconds.
Probably. I'm probably being too negative, because there are some good I've made actual friends on Twitter and stuff like that. And it's fun.
And lost friends. And cousins.
I don't know if I've lost Brandt in real life. I think he just unfollowed me during coronavirus.
Yeah.
I was just posting statistics and stuff. Anyways, so are you allowed to go anywhere like without your mask? What's it like? So here in North Carolina, so kind of a different situation in North Carolina.
Protest, dude.
We have a Democrat governor.
Protest.
Oh, yeah, you got protests going on. So how's the hood? How's your hood? Are you safe and sound?
I am, as you know, and like to point out, I live in East Cobb, and Marietta, so I'm very close to the Sandy Springs border. But we did have protests in Marietta. They were peaceful. They were in downtown Marietta. The stuff in Atlanta that's gotten out of hand is really, we only had two nights that were tough. The first night, definitely. And then I was very impressed with our leadership with the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, and she organized, you know, some leaders in the community to come out and try to stop the violent activity. And I think they did a really good job. And but now what's happening is the curfews, they're not, I mean, they're not messing around with the curfews. And what's happening now is that, you know, they've brought the National Guard in, they have the, you know, the police force, and, you know, the folks that are hanging around after the curfew, it's all hugs and kneeling and things like that before the curfew. But once the curfew happened, it's like,
Yeah,
get out of here. And there are those that aren't getting out and that are antagonizing. And those folks are, you know, getting peppered with, you know, rubber bullets and pepper spray. And so it's making for an unpleasant scene still. Yeah. But I've built a moat around my house.
But is coronavirus canceled? Is it canceled? Because that was a huge topic 2 weeks ago.
Well, at least
have people, we moved on? What's,
at least
what's
people
the
are starting to like talk about it again. Like I did hear like on the news, like for what I'm watching, it's like I think enough people have been like, hey, wait a minute, like a week and a half ago, you're telling me to stay home and don't get near anybody and stay home, save lives. But now I'm watching the news and there are hundreds, thousands of people shoulder to shoulder, screaming in people's faces, you know, half and half, some wearing masks, some not. Like it's all very confusing.
Yeah. It's miserable, man. Everybody's so miserable. Not everybody. I think that most people are not miserable, and the loud ones, I think social media and the media makes up for a small percentage of America, but they're the loudest. You know what I mean? I think most people want to just crack open a cold one and like have a burger, you know, and watch some baseball right now. I think, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah. It's a complex issue that, you know, systemic racism in the United States is a very hard emotional topic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And certainly the loudest voices in the room are going to be those on either side that are, you know, screaming the loudest always. But it's,
people are just so dug in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They're just so dug in their trenches that they're not even like, you can't even have a conversation about it, kind of.
Yeah, it's hard. I think this, the George Floyd incident is if you look at history, I mean, all you need is one event. It may seem minor, it may seem, you know, like some others, but it can cause an explosion, and this one certainly has. And it's awful. It's awful what happened. I mean, it was
terrible. I think everybody thinks it was terrible.
Yeah. And you know, I do think there is an issue that is being raised, especially with, you know, the police in this country. That seems to be a problem. And I think it has been for a long time. So,
yeah.
It's hard.
Well,
it's a hard issue.
It is. Yeah. I watched a really good documentary like a year ago. I forget what it was called, man. It was about, it was about slavery and, just the civil rights movement. And, you know, you're brought up, I think most people are brought up to just understand that, like, you know, black folks were freed in 1865, which, you know, in a way they were, but, I forget this guy's name. He was an historian, I think from, Georgetown, but he said slavery didn't really end until the late 40s when you think about it. You know, I mean, it's true. Like, if you were a black guy in Mississippi in 1929 and you were walking home from work by yourself, like, you were picked up often and you were just like arrested, and you're like why am I arrested? And they'd be like, for vagrancy. And you're like, what does that even mean? Like, what? You're just making that up. And so you'd literally go to jail for like 8 years. And while you're in jail, the local a lot of the local manufacturing companies, like a local steel mill or lumber mill or whatever, would partner with that prisoner jail and get super, super cheap labor. So, I mean, this all happened from the late 1800s, like all the way through the 30s. A lot of the buildings and roads and bridges like were actually built this way. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. It's kind of weird. And then obviously the 60s, I mean, you couldn't eat together, you know, until like the 60s. And that wasn't that long ago, you know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, the history's not good. I mean, it's just not good. And it's a very complex problem that involves some tough answers. I think, you know, two things that happened to me this week that were eye opening, and I, you know, the organization I work for, we had a kind of a town hall meeting and panelists that really just kind of were sharing their experience, and we had, you know, three African American partners on the call that were, and then one of them just let off kind of saying like you know, I do very well, I live in a very affluent neighborhood, and you know, nice houses and everything, but you know, my 6'11", you know, youngest son, is home with us, and you know, he's a great athlete, but we're very much the minority in our neighborhood. And I had to send an email out to the neighborhood, just informing them with a picture of him, saying, you know, this is my son. He's staying with us. And so, just so you kind of know who he is. And that, you know, that, just sharing that story, like that's an oh wow moment for me, right? Because, you know, candidly, as a white guy in a nice neighborhood, if you know, when my son is 18 and is maybe living with us for a time, I'm not gonna have to send that email, right? And that's a difference.
Yeah,
that's you know, walking a mile in somebody else's shoes, and you know, another one of my colleagues, he, you know, shared with us that, you know, that in their community, you know, when their sons reach a certain age, they have to have what they call the talk about how to deal with police officers, and you know,
right,
and that's the type of thing that I think is being really highlighted and mm-hmm. that really needs to change, and you know, mm-hmm. Among other things, but just sharing those experiences in an open forum where we can listen and try to be a part of the solution, I think is you know, hopefully gonna do some good.
Yeah. So you were telling me that are you and Duncan able to like go play ball anywhere, or are the parks still closed? I know one of your issues was you could go to some places, but you couldn't go to some other places. It just didn't make any sense, you know. Is that still going on?
The logic, there's no lot. That's part of the frustrating thing about the COVID thing, the whole COVID thing. Like, there seems to be no logic around it, and you know, on any team, on any side, it's like, well, you know, and I poked fun at our governor for, you know, opening bowling alleys and massage parlors and tattoo parlors first. Like, that was like the first thing that opened after being told just a week before, don't get near anybody, right? It's just kind of a head scratcher,
right?
So bowling alleys were disgusting before COVID, like, you know,
right? They've always been. Yeah,
you reuse shoes, you stick your hand in balls. I mean, it's you know, why was that chosen, and why can't I go out to a baseball park with my kid? Like, it's a, you know, it doesn't seem to make any sense. But yeah, that's the other fascinating thing. The same weekend, I'm one of the rogue little league coaches that were like, we found a secret park that was like, it was locked up, but there was an open gate in the outfield, so we could get out there and play. And, you know, we got some kids out there, and my son's part of a travel team, and I coach his travel team. We got some kids, maybe seven or eight kids out there. We had a little practice, and sure enough, the next weekend when we came back, it was all locked up. So somebody had called, you know, the authorities. So,
oh my gosh.
Just further affirmation that Cobb County police have nothing better to do than to go lock up baseball fields and monitor
I think it's anybody in power, kind of, you know, like Ben and Chrissy live in these townhomes. Actually, they're not townhomes. They're actually houses, but they're kind of small, and they're just like one of those neighborhoods that's just like they're not tiny homes. They're all on top of each other in Dallas, and their HOA guy thinks he's like, you know, Stalin or something. And yeah. This guy just, he's closed down the pool, right? And you know how my brother is. Ben's not on Facebook, but he'll use Chrissy's Facebook. They have like a HOA Facebook page or something.
Yep.
And so Ben will go on there and voice his frustrations and stuff. And so this guy has refused to open up the pool because of Kemp's orders. And Ben's like, Kemp never gave any orders about public pools at all. Like, stop, you know? And so everybody else is like, yo, it's June. Let's open up the pool, you know? And Ben's like, it's never crowded anyways. There's only like 5 people there. You know what I mean? So at worst, there's 5-7 people there. So maybe put up a limit sign of limit of 20 people. You're never going to hit that threshold ever anyways.
So, well, yeah. So therein lies part of this problem, right? I understand fundamentally when this whole thing broke out, like our country's too big to have like one person. Like,
yeah. Me and you disagreed on it for a little bit. Yeah.
But to have like our president dictating orders to everyone like that, that's a hard thing to do in a country of our size, right? Unless we're a communist country like China, where you can completely control everything and use military force to that word. That's not us. Right. So he didn't do that. And you can either agree or disagree with that. But the problem with doing it that we've seen, it's been displayed, is that once you start going down level to level in government officials, you get dumber and dumber and dumber all the way down to knucklehead. And so if the county knuckleheads are the ruling class and making all the rules, well, you can pretty much bet that the rules are going to be dumb and they're not going to make any sense. And they're going to be, hey, let's go open a bowling alley and maybe a tattoo parlor, but keep that damn park shut. Nobody can get in the dugout in a baseball field. I mean, it's maddening. So, but you're right about the people in power. I mean, I think that's part of the deal with a lot of it. And they're great cops. I mean, I know some wonderful police officers and some honorable. That's a hard job.
Yeah.
That's a hard job.
Yeah. I don't want to this is a slippery slope, but a lot of police forces are, especially like in the big cities, are predominantly black. You know, I mean, they just are. That's not to say that there's probably some dickhead black cops and there's dickhead white cops.
Well, there are. And I think it goes back to the power.
I can't tweet that, but it's true.
Right. Well, it goes back to the power trip. And I think that's I've experienced this myself, where you challenge a cop or you talk back. Or you don't do exactly what they say, they either will or will threaten to mess you up. And I've had it happen to me in Chicago. I've had it happen to me in Cobb County. I tend to talk back, and I, you know, it's just been a thing my whole life. But
one of the misconceptions is, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, did you see the video of the two college students in Atlanta on Saturday? They got tased.
I did. They were in their car. Weren't they in their car?
Right. And that was a mega.
It was a black cop. One of the cops was black.
Three African American.
I'm just saying that because
I think two white.
And, right.
They all got fired. But yeah, I mean, it was, and all those kids did was like challenge them a little bit, and it didn't. They just bounced into rage mode and messed them up. And
that's a good example of, I mean, like you're saying, there are sometimes some cops are just on power trip turd waffles who, you know, were probably losers in high school. And these guys, in this case, they were both black and white. I mean, I don't think color was an issue in that because I saw the video, but I've known a lot of awesome cops that are really good people. I've known a couple of cops that are total douchebags that I knew from high school that I know are douchebags that are just like, it's like they finally got their only opportunity to ever like be in charge of something. And that's kind of how they operate, you know?
Yeah.
And when you operate that way, I mean, in a normal job, it ain't that scary. If you're that douchebag dickhole and you get promoted and you're the boss at the Gap or like at whatever firm, like that sucks and your employees are going to be miserable. Right.
But you can keep away from really that person. Right. That person doesn't have a gun and a bulletproof vest and combat
exactly.
boots.
Exactly. But
manhandle right. you and put your face in some concrete. So I think there exactly. needs to be some widespread change. All of these situations.
Yeah. Some better. Yeah, I agree. Well, how's the kids, man? I saw you guys go up to the mountains and stuff.
We went to the mountains look, I like as much, I gave some sarcastic flack to Governor Kemp over social media, as you know. And, but at the same time, I mean,
I do the same with Roy Cooper.
I wanted him to be right. I wanted to be wrong about that. And it's looking like, knock on wood, he was. That's awesome. I'm happy to be, I'm happy to be wrong about that. I think it's fantastic. And
yeah.
Over Memorial Day, I was very grateful to live in a state that had, taken some steps to normalcy, was able to get my family up to the mountains and go hike some beautiful North Georgia waterfalls. And it was amazing. I last week I had dinner in a restaurant, it's good. And, I'm just hoping that the protests won't set us back and put us back into a situation where, we're going through this again, and all of the sacrifices that so many people have made,
we've come so far.
Well, yeah. It's annihilated our economy. People are unemployed, have lost their businesses. People that have lost their businesses and things like that. And that's not being selfish, man. That's hard. It's not being selfish to think about somebody losing something that they've worked for their entire life, rely on for healthcare, health insurance, their family relies on. I mean, those are all tough things. Mm-hmm. So to potentially go back is that's scary.
Yeah. So when you're in North Georgia, Kent, I was going to bring this up because a lot of our listeners don't know this about you. They just know that you are, like a Clemson fan and you have a bad taste in like college football teams. But one of the things they don't know about you is you are there's probably a term for this, but like you're a Sasquatch believer.
Yes.
You're in an organization or something. I mean, this isn't just like your Uncle Bubba who believes in like UFOs. Mm-hmm. Like this is different. So you, not only do you believe in the Sasquatch, but you are just interested in it and will go on expeditions, and you think it's a very important part of America. Tell us about the Sasquatch.
It's a global, it's a global phenomenon. That's one of the things that holds true about Sasquatch or Yeti or Yeren or Yawa, or there are many different names in different countries for the same what's described by different people. That when you think about it, 250 years ago, that were writing about it, drawing pictures of it, had no contact with each other, but they're describing the same animal. There's a little bit of evidence. I do believe absolutely in the existence of Sasquatch. It's not just one thing running around state to state. I believe a very probably close to extinct primate that came over from the land bridge.
That would explain why no one's seen it.
Well, lots of people close to extinct. Lots of people. Lots of people have seen it.
Okay, so who?
Yeah. There are
tell us who has seen it.
Thousands of sightings hundreds of thousands of sightings across the world every year and have been for. So it's either the greatest hoax of all time, like bar none.
Okay, but has it been recorded? Okay, so
yes.
So you say have you seen
the Patterson-Gimlin film? Have you watched it? If you haven't,
no.
Go watch it.
Uh-uh.
It's, that, what that is was that? The first filming of it in the 1960s, up in Willow Creek, okay. California, Northern California.
Okay.
It was filmed. It's been filmed, you know, by several other people. And I believe that they're nocturnal. A. B. They live in the most remote.
So
what? Areas.
So this film. Why have I never heard of this film? Is it real? Is it legit?
I can't answer that for you. Most people have. most people have seen the Patterson film, Josh.
I'm going to ask everybody I see tomorrow.
Have they seen the Patterson film?
Have they seen the Patterson film? And I'm going to report back.
Patterson film, but if they watch it, they may go, oh, I've seen that. Yeah. So, okay. Either you believe there's two options.
Okay.
And where these things are seen are like these are some of the like hardest to reach places on the planet. Like they're like you're talking in some
like,
cases
like Mississippi, Arkansas.
Well, the Arkansas there's a significant amount of sightings up in the Ozarks, but Washington State, Vancouver, all the way up the Pacific Rim up into Alaska. Which makes the most.
That's Harry and the Henderson countries. That's right. Where Harry came from.
That's right. And if you think about the progression from. So several hundred years ago, we know this to be a fact. There was a bipedal. Mm-hmm. Bipedal means that you walk on two legs, not four. It's for your listeners. There was a bipedal ape that lived in Asia that was extremely. There's a large population of them called Gigantopithecus. Gigantopithecus blackie. We have fossil remains. We have jaw bones. We have other evidence of Gigantopithecus. The theory that I buy into is that Gigantopithecus, that Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yowie, Yeren, Yawa, in Florida,
Yowie?
They're called
Yawa?
Yowie. In Florida, they're called skunk ape. Skunk ape. But the theory I buy into is that a populace of Gigantopithecus migrated, as we did, into North America through the land bridge hundreds of years ago and settled in. And I think that what still exists today is a small population that's still around has managed to live on.
So a small population, are they, do you believe that there are some in North Georgia or the Smokies? The Smokies you can get lost in. So, I mean, if there's a Sasquatch, the Smokies is maybe a good place to,
I mean,
Eric Rudolph hit here for a while.
I think that they're likely somewhat nomadic. So I don't know that they stay in one place for maybe a long period of time. So you think about the Appalachian Trail. I do think that they migrate through it. I went on a Bigfoot expedition with the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. That's led by a guy named Matt Moneymaker. I got to know Matt a little bit. He, if you ever saw the show Finding Bigfoot on Animal Planet, I know
his name is.
It's the last name. I know.
Come on, there's a Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot hunter named Matt Moneymaker. That's awesome.
It's Matt's a good guy. He's a passionate guy about.
Okay, so you go on.
Yeah.
So you go on an expedition with Matt Moneymaker.
Have you seen Finding?
What does that entail? Was it like a? Was,
you ever seen the show?
Yeah. Finding Bigfoot? Is that the?
That's the guy.
I think I have. Yeah.
Matt.
Oh, he's like legit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's Matt's show.
He's like the Mike Rowe of Bigfoots, man.
Yeah. So I got to know him before the show. One of the expeditions I went on, I think he was probably creating the trailer or the pitch the trailer because they had camera guys going around and everything. But the first one was up in up in North Georgia, around the area that we were at with the family.
Okay.
Up in Raven Gap, near Helen, a little bit north of Helen, up in the Chattahoochee National Forest.
Yeah. Man, very familiar.
Yep. And what is it? So, you camp out. Again, we think that they're nocturnal. Most of the evidence would suggest that they are. And so it's actually somewhat terrifying. You go out into the woods. I was with my buddy Nick, and believe it or not, we're not like crazy outdoors people. Like we're city slickers. I mean, it was like city slickers. We were around all these guys.
Yeah. No,
we pretended to be pretty effectively. And funny story, they put us into groups, and we didn't know any of these people. I mean, it was probably, I don't know, 15 people in this group. And we put you in a group, like three or four. And Nick and I were with these other two guys, and like, all right, hop in the back of the pickup truck, and we'll go out and look around. It was late. It was like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So we're in the back of this pickup truck with these two dudes that we don't know. We never met them. We met them a few hours ago, you know, and they seem nice enough, but we stopped like in the middle of the woods, and they looked at each other and like grabbed their guns and like hopped out of the car, making out like, oh shit, dude, are we gonna get like, you know, is this like deliverance? We're gonna get killed out, you know? It's like, we don't even know these people. What are we doing? I want to go home. But they were cool. It was cool. They thought they had seen something. But now I'm sitting there. You sit there and you just listen. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're sitting out there in the middle of the woods, just trying to be quiet. And there are things you do. You do, like, you saw the videos of Duncan like knocking and whooping.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Okay. Okay.
One of the theories is one of the ways that they communicate is through wood knock. So a piece of wood or you know, wooden bat or whatever, and knock. They don't use wooden bats. We use wooden bats and knock, and you hear another knock out there.
Right.
You know. So.
So whooping. So if you're out. So you're out on the trails. So anybody can. Oh. Oh wow. So anybody can get into this. Basically, it's a thing.
Yeah. It's a very low bar for entry. Yeah. Very low barrier for entry.
Do you call it? What do you call it? Sasquatching, or do you call it anything? Squatching, you call it squatching. And so if you're out in the Cahutta or wherever hiking with your kids, you can squatch. It's a thing. Stick on a tree, you knock on. I saw the video with Duncan. So Duncan's knocking on the tree and he's whoop whoop whoop.
Yeah, so he's all in.
Okay.
There's a Bigfoot museum actually in Blue Ridge. It's pretty cool.
I know. Yeah, I've driven by that a few times. It's always closed when I drive by it. I try to. It's off of 575 and 400. Yeah.
I'll tell you one of the things that like really. I'll tell you a quick story about the first one I went on. One of the leaders with the group that I was with was this guy named Lee Culver, and Lee, great guy, former CIA, had been stationed in Africa, all over the world. I mean, the guy's like total badass. If you're ever like stuck in the woods, like that's the kind of guy you want to be with. He knows how to, you know, the sun's going to be down at this time, you know, all that outdoorsy stuff. You know, we were sitting by the fire, just kind of telling stories and talking. And I was sitting next to Lee. I was like, Lee, have you ever seen one of these things? And he very like, very nondescript, like, yep, twice. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, tell me about the first time. He's like, yeah. The first time was in the Everglades. Skunk ape. I was like, the Everglades?
Okay.
Really? I wouldn't think that. He's like, yeah, I was in the Everglades. I was leading a survival mission. So I was teaching these 13 people how to survive in, you know, very, very tough circumstances, right? So he was teaching survival tactics and things like that. He's like, we were on a grass patch in the middle of the Everglades, you know, 200 miles away from any sort of civilization or any kind of person could get to us. The only way you can get out there is, you know, like an airboat or like a drop off, right? You can't just drive out there and get to where they were. Very remote area. And he was like at like 3 o'clock in the morning, he heard like this rustling. He woke up and something was throwing rocks and pine cones into their camp. And he found it odd. He's like, that, you know, bears can't do that and don't do that. But he thought to himself, he's like, I was stationed in the Congo in Africa. And one thing they always told us that if you were in a camp and things started to get thrown at you, that means you were getting too close to a gorilla population. And one thing that large primates do as a defense mechanism to get you out of there because they don't want you there is to throw things at you from behind bushes. So said, you know, he found it odd and he started to look around and probably 20 feet from where they were, he's like, the sawgrass came up, you know, I'm 6'2". It probably came up, you know, 2 or 3 feet above, you know, where I was. He said like head and shoulders from here up was what looked to be like a fucking gorilla standing on two legs, throwing things at them.
What?
It started to yell at them. So,
so did he freak out?
Nope. Didn't freak out. Calmed him down. They did.
How are you not going to freak out? I would have pooped my CIA, pants. Dude. What are you talking about?
He was like, the CIA, bro. Like he was in the CIA, the station in Africa. Like you got it. So, but he got him out. Like they packed up and they moved on. Right. They got the hell out of it. So, you know, look, you have two options there that you're either believe that guy or you don't. Right. I choose to believe him. And he told me about another time he saw one, but, incredible guy. He's dedicating like a portion of his life to look for these things. He's not making money off of it. And he, you know, either in that remote area of the Everglades, there was some guy in a monkey suit and stilts throwing things at people just right, you know, sitting out there and doing that around a bunch of fucking alligators. Maybe that's what it was, but what's harder to believe? I could go even deeper.
So,
this is a good one.
So here's a theory. I'm not saying I believe in this theory, but one theory could be you guys have some kind of secret brotherhood, like some secret
or like the
deep
Masons
state. Like, yeah.
Oh, I'm into
like
deep
the
state.
Swatch Masons.
I can get into deep state too. I got real deep into the Swatch Masons.
Like the Squatch Masons, and you guys know that it doesn't exist, but you come up with these stories, and the it's like a sport, and the sport is how to tell the most believable stories and get other people to believe in it. And just how far can this thing go? Can we have a TV show about this? Maybe a museum? I don't know.
Matt got
that's
the
just
TV
a theory.
Show.
I don't know.
He I think he got 3 or 4 seasons too on Animal Planet. It was successful. He scared
here's
the shit of me, by the way. I was in a car with him on that expedition, and that dude, like, we were on top of a mountain, and he was just like, it was like 3 a.m. He was flying down this gravel road, flying down it, and I was in the front seat. I was like, Matt, you gotta slow down, man. He's kind of crazy, but, you know, look, it's, there are very few mysteries left in the world, and I think that, that's a fascinating one to study.
And that's part of the luster for you is that it's fun to believe in something bigger than yourself, sort of, and mysterious. Yeah.
Bigger.
My thing is, if it is real, it's got to be intelligent, just because of how elusive it is and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Well, that's that. Yeah, I mean,
because so, you know, you don't. Yeah.
Well, think about it. That's their. You know, we're entering their territory, right? And just like with mountain, just like with silverback gorillas, I mean, people used to think those didn't exist. That they were just tall tales from the locals, that these things lived up there and they were discovered not too long ago. And so you're entering into their domain. So they're obviously going to have, you know, a shark can smell blood in the water from, I don't know how many, like miles and miles, hundreds of miles away, right? You're going into their territory. They can smell you. They know that you're there. Right, they know that you're there. They're evolved to, you know, exist, to have keener senses in those environments than we are as domesticated armchair skeptics like yourself.
Well, forgive me for not believing in something that I've never seen before. I'm so sorry to not believe in a giant gorilla that I've never seen before. I know that's crazy to not believe in that.
Are there animals out there that you haven't seen that you think might exist?
Well, yeah, the ones I haven't seen, I've seen pictures of and videos of, and so I've never seen a giraffe. I don't think, but I know a giraffe exists because I've seen pictures
you've seen
of giraffes.
Videos of them, and other people have seen them. Yeah, right. Other people have seen Bigfoots too. Lots of other people, lots of credible people. Police officers.
You've said that. You've told me that, but I'm just saying, I've not seen a video. I haven't seen the video that you mentioned before. I'll watch it. I'll watch and get back with you, but I've not seen it.
It was made in 1967, and the people that deny it is it's just a guy in a suit. But if you watch people sort of analyze it from a cinematography standpoint and the movements that it's making, the muscle tone and the things that you're seeing it do, it's grainy. It's 1967, but I think it's compelling.
Is he making some?
No, it's classic. It's classic Squatch. You know, it's a classic Squatch move.
You need a Squatch sticker on your. You got too much of a professional dad car, though. I don't know if you could. I don't know.
Yeah, before I went way corporate, I had an I Believe thing on my leaf, but I'm way. I can't do that anymore. It's on my backpack.
Well,
that I don't bring to work.
It's in your heart. It's all that matters. Have you thought about getting a Squatch tattoo? Because I could see that happen.
Yeah. I'm into it, but I don't know.
Naming Duncan Squash before Duncan was born? Did you at least have a thought? Should I name him Harry after Harry and the Hendersons?
Harry.
Squatch. Did you think about that?
Mm, no.
No.
We did think about naming him Jay, though.
Oh, my God. Y'all, so there is nobody. I don't know if Jay Cutler's mom loves Jay Cutler as much as my cousin Kent loves Jay Cutler. You guys know how I am with Markakis?
Mm-hmm.
How Markakis could go.
Who is the other guy? The random Markakis guy. Who is the random? Matt. Who's the other Brave?
Matt Dias?
Matt Dias.
Yeah. So our listeners know that Matt Dias could go 0-for-40, and hit, a .112, and I would still talk about him as if he was Willie Mays. That is Kent Brown about Jay Cutler. But even honestly, you guys think that I'm an obnoxious troll. Honestly, Kent is the king. Yeah, Kent, tell us why Jay Cutler is the greatest of all time. Do you have any knowledge you want to impart on our listeners?
Well, I mean, I'm just a numbers guy. I look at the stats and, statistically, it's really not even close that Jay is by far the greatest quarterback to ever wear a Chicago Bears jersey. If you're not into math, that's okay. But the numbers tell us that Jay far surpasses Jim McMahon anyone really. So, and one of the storied franchises in NFL history. So, Jay also self-proclaimed his, he was asked in an interview, I think it was his second season in the league, if he thought he had a stronger arm, he was with the Broncos, if he thought he had a stronger arm than John Elway, and he just went, yeah. Brilliant.
I gotta admit, I've grown to appreciate him after the fact because he had that show, and I didn't realize that he's I didn't get him, but now I get Jay Cutler. While he was with the Bears, I just never got him, but Jay Cutler is I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what I kind of like about Jay.
Kiss my ass.
Don't care. Like,
yeah, that Jay Cutler is funny.
His attitude towards the media was just like, you know, it was just like, he just didn't care, which I found to be hilarious. So,
yeah, it's kind of respectable, you know, in a world where people care way too much about stupid shit. It's like the Lord gave us a guy that just didn't care, you know.
Well,
I don't think he still cares.
No, and, you know, it's interesting. We've talked a lot about the media, and I've got a lot of feelings about that. But, you know, because he behaved the way that he did, the Chicago media tried to tear him down, man. I mean, they tried. I mean, they tore that dude apart. I mean, basically made proclamations that he, you know, he didn't want to win, which I think is total horseshit. Of course he wanted to win. He talked to his teammates.
So an outsider like me that didn't keep up with it that much, to me, like, they portrayed him, and I just kind of bought into it, I guess. But I just thought he was a lazy asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He may be an asshole, but he, you know, I watched him get his shit absolutely kicked in at Vandy for 4 years and just continue to get back up off the mat and to win at Tennessee when they shouldn't have been winning at Tennessee, and, you know, playing without an offensive line and very few tools. And, you know, so I grew to respect him.
Well,
so much that I got a doll.
Okay.
I think this is going to be a collector's eye. Can you imagine? I mean, how many of these things
I don't
were
think it,
bought?
I don't think it will be, Kent. I think that we'll probably find a lot of those.
I don't think there's many of them. I just don't think there's many of them.
It's probably because they weren't in demand. You know, like, you know, you and a few others in Chicago probably have one, but
I have to bring it back to Duncan's room and I'm done playing with it.
Yeah. Well, as we depart here on the podcast, is there anything to be excited about? Is there anything good going on to be thankful for?
I am thankful.
Do you have any parting words of wisdom?
I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful. Believe it or not, I'm thankful for Ken. I'm thankful for JT. I'm thankful for Michael Lane.
You know, you had to drop Michael Lane's name. Michael is going. Michael
just
peed his pants.
That's my boy.
Michael thinks that you are like Brett Favre. Like he thinks you're
Cutler.
The greatest Jay person Cutler. Ever.
Michael's the man. Keep fighting a good fight, Michael. You know, we're friends on Facebook now, and he's you know, he's fighting a good fight, good man. I'll call out my dad, man. My dad did a cool thing.
I saw Aunt Karen posted it on Facebook, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, wherever you lie on the religious spectrum, it's not to make a religious statement, but yeah, he just put a table out in the yard and put a whole bunch of Bibles out there and just, you know, said free Bibles, take one for your kid, one for your grandkid. And he said within about 2 or 3 minutes, you know, people were driving by, stopping, driving back, and just like yelling, like, thank you so much. This is exactly what I need. I'd love to, you know, just get, you know, providing some potential encouragement to people that are down and that need it right now and whatever form it comes in. And if it's that, then awesome. And I just thought it was a cool thing to do. I do think we'll have college football season. I do. I think we'll have a weird college football season, but a college football season nonetheless. And when we do, I mean, yeah, Clemson's going to do it again. So, I mean, I think it's that is something to look forward to, my friend.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
T-Law,
all
Travis
right.
Etienne. Yeah, Dabo.
I can't wait for college football. You don't even know. I can't wait.
It's going to be so
I
awesome.
I can't wait. Yeah. I want to watch some games with you this year. I want to watch a proper Clemson game with you.
I need to get you up to Death Valley. is what I need to do. I'll commit to, we have a great tailgate up there. My roommate Curtis, mm-hmm. and his wife Jeannie have a prime spot. It's a ton of fun. When I went to Texas A&M 2 years ago, the guys that we partied with and stayed with were all Texas A&M guys, and we promised to show them a good time in Clemson. And I wasn't able to make that game because Duncan had a baseball game, but Curtis took them all in and showed them how we do things up there. And it's just a lot of, if you can't have fun at a Clemson game, then I don't know, there's something wrong with it.
Well, yeah, hopefully one day I'll be down there, and I will experience anything though. I'll go. I would go.
You will go.
Yeah,
we'll get you there.
Okay, well, I've enjoyed talking with you, and I've learned a lot tonight about Sasquatch. I'm not a non-believer. I'm an agnostic when it comes to Sasquatch. I don't know.
You just need to educate yourself.
That is my official position.
You just need to educate yourself.
My official position
do a little bit more homework
is
on it.
And I don't hate the non-believers, and I don't hate the believers. I'm just kind of like, you believe in him or not. I don't care. Just don't force it on me. I'm going to just do my own thing. That's kind of where I fall on the Sasquatch.
There's a great book called Rain Coast Sasquatch that I recommend you take a look at.
Okay. Are you drinking a Moscow Mule, by the way?
That's just good old-fashioned H2O.
Okay. All right.
Mixed in it's not a Moscow Mule. It's a Kentucky Mule.
I love Kentucky Mules. This is what I drink. Yeah. Bourbon and ginger beer. It's better, I think, than a Moscow Mule.
What a lot of people don't know is that we're actually the same person. Josh is my a little bit more country Boone doppelganger.
It's weird, man. It's so freaking weird.
I'm his little bit more nerdy, probably equally as sarcastic and condescending doppelganger.
Oh yeah, we're the worst. We're giant jerks. We're not really jerks, but we're kind of jerks, you know?
Yeah. We just, we call it like we see it, man. Keeping it real.
Well, I think that we should officially end on I think you need to do like a quick sign off about why Fred McGriff should be in the Hall of Fame. Go.
Fred McGriff will be the by far, and really not even close, the greatest hitter to not be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Fred McGriff is a top 25 on the all-time home run list. Fred McGriff was the top home run hitter in all of Major League Baseball for about half of a decade. Fred McGriff was a terror in the playoffs. Helped the Braves. The Braves don't win a World Series without Fred McGriff. During his time, he was viewed by his peers and other coaches as one of the top threats in the league. He has close to what is it? I don't know the numbers in front of me, but like 3,000 RBIs, close to that, or 3,000. Mm-hmm. It's over 2,500 hits.
Right.
493 home runs, a career average of over 280, 284, I believe it was.
And did it
over about an 18-19 year career consistently, and there was really no letdown for him.
Yeah, man.
He was probably the most negatively affected player in all of baseball to the steroid scandal and the strike. I mean, mm-hmm. Up until 1994-95, he was literally the top home run hitter in the league. He had more home runs than Bonds. He had more home runs than McGuire. Those guys mm-hmm. didn't spike mm-hmm. until after they started using, and Fred never used. So.
Yep. I went on Fangraphs once, and I like to troll with this because I took a screenshot of it from 87 to 2003. Fred McGriff had the fifth most home runs in baseball from 87 to 2003. The four guys ahead of him, all known verifiable users.
Yeah.
So technically, your boy Fred McGriff, you could argue, had the most dingers in baseball from 87 to 2003. The premier slugger from 87 to 03.
Well, it's a standard that you know, look at a guy like Jack Morris. You know, Jack Morris is in the Hall of Fame because he was a great player in the postseason. I mean, he was, you know, among other things, but, you know, guys get celebrated for that. Fred McGriff was a great player in the postseason. I mean, he was awesome. His stats are unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he was a complete terror.
Yeah.
I mean, so he was, that means he was a clutch player. And I can't remember where he is on the intentional walk list, but he's very, very high. I mean, the guy was intentionally walked all the time, which means, again, pitchers didn't want to face him, right? For a long period of time.
He was feared.
He was Frank Thomas and Craig Biggio were both asked when they were inducted, that what player that is not in the Hall of Fame should be, and both of them answered, no question, Fred McGriff. Those are guys that played against him, right?
Yeah.
There's obvious, you know, I used to back in before Facebook and even MySpace, things like that, I would write these sports writers. I would make the case. And I remember Bob Ryan wrote me back from, he writes for the Boston Globe. I don't know if he still does. I don't know if he's still around, but, But this encapsulates the madness of the Fred McGriff argument that I laid all this out. I mean, I wrote a soliloquy as to why Fred McGriff should be in the Hall of Fame. He writes me like a 3-sentence response. He's like, interesting. These are all great points. Just doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer to me.
What a douchebag. What a douchebag. And that's total bullshit. And that's... Fred McGriff was just a quiet guy,
yeah.
And he played for multiple teams. Too. That's what hurt him, too, which shouldn't be a factor, but it is because he's dumb twat waffles who think that way. He played for all these teams, so unfortunately.
Look at who was traded for him. Like, go back and look at who the Blue Jays got in return for Fred McGriff. They got Robbie Alomar.
A bunch of losers?
They got Roberto Alomar and Joe Carter.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay, and, so that's a factor.
The Cubs traded for him. They needed a bat in the middle of their lineup. He was playing for the Devil Rays. He was doing well, but he played for the Devil Rays. Nobody, you know, like when that was like right in their inception. Cubs were making a playoff run. They needed a bat, and they went after McGriff and got him. You know, I mean, he was coveted.
The Devil Rays.
You know, I mean, I'll take Fred McGriff in his prime over several first basemen that are in the Hall of Fame in contemporaries that you compare him with. I'll take him over Bagwell. I'll take him. And you've posted this on the Nations. You know, Bagwell was a pathetic player in the playoffs. He was, his average in the playoffs was like .218 or something.
He also used. I don't buy the whole he didn't. He totally used.
There's no question.
I don't give a shit about like proof, dude. Look at pictures of Bagwell. Now let me say this before let me make a disclaimer. I covered minor league ball, so I'm very aware that like a minor league ball player from single A, double A, they do grow. They, when you're an 18-year-old dude, you're going to grow and you're going to put some mass on you between 18 to like age 22, right? I understand that. However, if you look at pictures of Jeff Bagwell in double A, dude is a string bean, man. Fast forward 3 years. 3 years. He goes from hitting like 10, 12 dingers here and there, maybe 8 a year, to like 40. And he is like... fucking beefcake.
He had never hit more than, I think, 15 home runs in a season. And he grew, you're right. He, and who was his workout buddy? Ken Caminiti. Ken Caminiti, who
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Ken Caminiti.
A known user. Yeah.
Had a heart attack. I mean, the guy had a heart attack from steroid abuse. He looked like a professional wrestler. And, and Bagwell, Bagwell's average a little bit higher, not that much higher. McGriff has more career RBIs, more longevity, more home runs. He was a much better power hitter. And he's a World Series winner, and I think he has more Silver Sluggers. So I don't understand the argument for Bagwell. I take Crime Dog any day of the week.
Samesies, yeah. Bagwell's a loser.
I wish Fred
McGriff
had played.
Has more home runs, more hits, more RBI.
Well, I wish Fred had played. I wish the Braves had never traded him. I wish he had stayed in Atlanta. Through the Galarraga. Like, I wish that he had been there. So I never liked Andres Galarraga, admittedly, because I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken when the Braves let Fred go to the Devil Rays. I was heartbroken about it.
Right.
And so I could never embrace Galarraga because of that. I thought they were making a big mistake.
I understand.
And so I think if Fred had stayed on with the Braves for those other Braves playoffs runs and perhaps, won another championship, and he had never done the Cubs thing, and he had never, if he had stayed with the Braves that whole time, I think he'd be in the Hall of Fame right now. But I do think that.
I think so too. I think so too.
When Glavin and Bobby and Chipper and those guys get on the players committee, that he'll get in. If Harold Baines is getting the Hall of Fame, Fred McGriff stuff.
Yeah, but that was an exception. I don't think that they're gonna. That's not the new standard. I think that was a statement. I think. I don't know. That was a statement to the writers. So that's what I think.
Well, it was.
But,
a perfect
hey,
storm.
Hey, whenever you're debating, you're not on Twitter, so you might have to worry about this. But for those listening. Knockomination. If you're ever debating that Astros nerd loser from their mama's basement about Fred McGriff, about the greatness of Fred McGriff, and you're educating them, we're not trolling Knockomination. We're educating, okay? We're educating these losers that McGriff is superior to Bagwell. Be expected that they're going to come back at you with on-base percentage, all right? And war, okay? Tell them to take their war and shove it up their ass. And when they bring up on base, come back at them with total bases. It'll melt their brain. These loser nerds beat them at their own game, my friends, because they love total bases. They get off on it. Okay, so when they come back at you and they're like, Bagwell's got a higher on base, okay, way higher than Fred McGriff. Let them know, let these losers know that Fred McGriff, our Lord and Savior, has more total bases. Okay, then our boy Jeff Bagwell. And that's the name of the game. Total bases is more important than on-base percentage.
Correct. And more home runs.
Thank you.
Yeah, and more home runs.
And more home runs.
More total hits, more RBIs.
Exactly.
And more World Series rings.
Amen, brother. Amen. Ken, it's been an honor and a privilege to speak with you this evening.
Always.
And
I'm glad to be back.
Do it again sometime.
Thank you for relieving the ban, and
it was a hard ban. After Clemson won, it was a hard ban. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can have a Royal Rumble once again with my friends Ken and JT. I look forward to chatting with them.
I hope so. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.